Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. I am your host, Sean Coleman. Thrilled to be with you again. We're talking with you on Wednesday, October the 14th. It's kind of crazy that we now are in the middle of October. It seems like that the year just keeps on moving along, you know, pretty, steadily. You know, a lot going on right now. Hope you and your family are well as we basically now are in the final quarter of 2020. It's been a crazy year. Still a lot of things going on that are impacting a lot of people, so ideal ways, but certainly hope you and yours are as well as can be. And we want to certainly thank you for joining us, making us a part of your daily routine. Since it's the off season, if you are a new listener, we can't thank you enough for taking time out of your day to join us. So we want to remind you that you can follow the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSEC. You can also get our podcast wherever podcasts are available. Locked On Grizzlies, Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your iPhone. Wherever you choose to listen, we likely are there. So as I mentioned yesterday, I gave a general overview of the Grizzlies, discussing, what they may be looking at as far as the NBA draft goes. And I had mentioned, a third point guard, a potential, developmental big, and wing depth as being really the focus that the Grizzlies have at their number 40 selection, with the overall trait that I think is going to play a part in their decision being the ability to shoot from distance. As I mentioned, over the past several weeks, the Grizzlies have their roster for next year and beyond pretty much locked in. They've got 8 or 9 guys who several of them are still locked into the Grizzlies for multiple seasons. You could see some of that change via trades or whatever may happen. But the Grizzlies pretty much, I won't say that their identity is established because they're so young, but one area that clearly can be improved upon is shooting. But the other area that I think that cannot be overlooked and that I think that Taylor Jenkins, certainly has preached as important is defense. And that is the primary calling card of the first player that I want to profile for the Grizzlies draft profiles, looking at players that could theoretically make sense for the Grizzlies with the number 40 pick in the draft, and that is Colorado forward Tyler Bay. Now, that is a name that has been thrown around a lot for the Grizzlies as potentially being, a very versatile wing depth type source for this team. There's not, there's a lot of opinions out there about Tyler Bay. It's a lot of positive opinions, but there's also a lot of, there's some variation. He's ranked anywhere, according to Thinkathon, he is the 14th best player available in this draft. But Sam Vecenie from The Athletic just actually mocked him to the Grizzlies at the number 40 overall pick. He's an older prospect who, if you look at the potential that he has, he still has some significant development, some significant projection, especially on offense, that he can offer. But he's probably more of a finished product at 22 than a lot of younger prospects in this draft. However, there is a lot to like. I will say that it's very likely that with the versatility he offers and the defensive upside that he offers, there's a good chance that Tyler Bay may not be there at the number 40 pick. But the fact that he is being projected, I think the general opinion would be that if he fell to the Grizzlies at 40 and they preferred him, which I think he fits that need for depth at wing, and he can offer it in a two-way format, to where he could develop into a 3-and-D type player from the wing, I think that certainly fits the Grizzlies, preferences, and so he could be a target if he was there. So who is Tyler Bay? Tyler Bay went to the University of Colorado. He played there from 2017 to 2020. Very decorated player. Two-time All-Pac-12 player. Made the Pac-12 All-Defensive Team. The 2018-2019 Pac-12 Most Improved Player, as well as the 2019-2020 Defensive Player of the Year. Now, what are his calling cards? Well, his calling cards, straightforward, are versatility, rebounding, and the potential as a transition type scorer. In terms of his defensive potential, he played a lot inside as a buff at Colorado, but the defensive playmaking was certainly there. He may not be the fastest or quickest guy with his feet, but if you look at how he played in Colorado, where he played in the post mostly, probably as an underside big, it's likely going to make sense that he's going to have to transition out to the perimeter. Well, he has shown the ability that he could be a versatile defender, someone who could arguably guard at least 4 spots on the opposition. He also is a defensive playmaker. Not only is he smart in terms of deflecting shots, getting into passing lanes, rotating, switching, whatever have you, he also can be a playmaker both in the perimeter and on the post, as his steal percentage and block percentages were both pretty elite as a defender when he was featured as a premier player on the Colorado Buffaloes. So his ability as a defensive playmaker is what really stands out, and we've started to see that be something that the NBA is valuing more and more, especially on these contenders. You know, we noticed that more and more of these contenders are really looking for those defensive playmakers who could come in and be a role player immediately. We saw it, for instance, with Philadelphia with Matisse Steinbull. You know, the Grizzlies looking at Brandon Clark when they got him, you know, looking at him and his, you know, potential projection on defense. So the calling card that really stands out for Tyler Bay is his defense, and I think that's something that would attract the Grizzlies as well as many other teams. You know, there are a lot of teams out there who are continuing to get better and better when it comes to their ability to draft, especially late in the draft, and I think Tyler Bay is one of those players who, yeah, due to his age, he may not be as highly valued as players that, you know, for teams that think other players are of higher potential, but I do think that for up-and-coming contenders or contenders, Tyler Bay makes a lot of sense. The other thing that stands out about Tyler Bay, and we'll get a little bit more into his stats, you know, in the second segment of the show, but the other thing that really stands out about Tyler Bay is his ability to rebound. And I think the reason why that makes sense for the Grizzlies as well as a lot of other teams is that Bay likely is not going to be a traditional big in the NBA. He's not going to be someone that plays center. He's not going to be someone that operates in the paint, you know, on a regular basis in the half-court offense, posting on the block and things like that. You're going to look for him to be a wing that potentially can play bigger than he actually is. But the thing about it is that adding extra rebounding is a big asset, you know, especially for a team like the Grizzlies who want to get out, they want to run, they want to be able to add a lot of value through transition as the way to make up for their lack of shooting at the moment. Having that rebounder who can come from different angles and know where to track the ball, and then be able to get the ball going on the run and finish, that is a huge, huge benefit to any team. You know, I've talked about it with Jaren Jackson Jr. His ability to create those moments where he makes a defensive stop on the defensive end of the court, then comes down as a trailing shooter or as a finisher in transition, that is a huge momentum swing. Well, that is Tyler Bay. Potentially, Tyler Bay, even if he were to come off the bench for a significant portion of his career, his ability to do that multiple times in the game is a huge asset. His ability to steal the ball, deflect a pass, block a shot on defense, and get a rebound, and then do the outlet pass to get on the run in transition, along with his ability to score, we'll talk about that more in a second, but all of that combined, that's Tyler Bay at his best, making a difference on the defensive end and then being able to turn it into points on the offensive end. That really is Tyler Bay's game, and in the NBA, where it's becoming faster paced and you need athleticism and you need guys who can find multiple ways from multiple positions to contribute, I think that is the upside that a lot of teams will like in Tyler Bay. What we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll dive a little bit more in the statistics. What really stood out about Bay in his collegiate career that could attract NBA teams when it comes to his statistical production at Colorado? I feel one commonality that many of us share is the desire to add healthy behaviors to our day. Small commitments that we can make to add health and really make it a part of our daily routine. Whatever that may be, a lot of times it's hard to commit to, but one thing that could really add to your ability to commit is if it came in the form of a tasty treat, and that is Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Typically, you've got to sacrifice health for taste or taste for health when it comes to these protein bars, but with Built Bar, you get both. It's very versatile. You can have it as a breakfast snack, or you can have it as, you know, your breakfast. You can have it before or after a workout. You can have it in the afternoon listening to your favorite Locked On Podcast Network show. Whenever you might enjoy it, it certainly is a benefit to add to your day. Great thing about it is there's an assortment of flavors. If you go to BuiltBar.com, you can find any flavor that you like. I personally like the peanut butter, but whatever your taste is, it likely is there. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now and you use the promo code Locked On, you'll get $10 off your next order of Built Bar while supplies last. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code Locked On, and get $10 off your next order. But I can tell you this with confidence. When you add Built Bar to your daily routine, this order won't be your last. It'll be there for the foreseeable future. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code Locked On, and get $10 off your next order of Built Bar. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So we're discussing Tyler Bay, the first rookie who really, makes sense as a target for the Grizzlies at the 40th overall selection in this year's draft. Now, as I mentioned in the first segment, the big attributes of Tyler Bay that really could attract teams is his defensive upside, you know, his ability to rebound for a wing player, and also his ability in transition. That's one reason why I think the Colorado Buffaloes were able to rely on him as a center, as a post presence, was his footwork. Now, you know, I talked a lot about Brandon Clark's footwork, and I think, you know, Bay is not on the level of Clark, but you can see the similarity in terms of their ability to be a very good finisher on lobs, a very good finisher on the baseline, a very good finisher in transition, a very good finisher in movement on offense where they can drop towards the basket and become open. Bay shows that ability, and though he may not do it as much in the NBA as he did in college, since he'll be more on the wing, it's still an added benefit that shows he can move without the ball on offense. And that's really where the focus is going to be when it comes to Bay and his ability to stick in the NBA is offense. Because as we mentioned, defensively, he can make a big difference, whether it's steals, blocks, on the, you know, rebounds, getting on the run after making a big play. You know, Bay is a playmaker. He is a momentum shifter in terms of his ability to create turnovers and transition. And that is something that I think that really is going to allow for him to really step in and make a difference from the beginning as a rookie. It also, unfortunately, may be a reason why he may not be there at 40, but let's get a little bit into his statistics. At Colorado, as I mentioned, he was a very decorated player, mainly for his defense, but offensively, he continued to improve as well. His field goal percentage went from 50% as a freshman to 54% as a sophomore and 53% as a junior. He also continued to improve from threes. Though he didn't shoot many, he went from not making a three-pointer as a freshman to making nearly 42% of his shots at Colorado. Another big benefit for Tyler Bay is that his free throw percentage consistently stayed around 75% most of the time, especially when he was getting more shots up as a sophomore and junior. So Bay was not a scorer. I mean, basically, he per 40 minutes, he scored about 19, over the last 2 years, he scored about 19.5 points per game. Overall, averaged about 13.5 points per game. So didn't stand out as a true, you know, scorer. One of the reasons why he didn't stand out as a true scorer is because right now, in terms of his offensive profile, while we talked about multiple ways in which he could score offensively, he's very reliant on others. A lot of his opportunities are through lobs passed to him, are through being passed to on the baseline. Does show a bit of catch-and-shoot ability that he has the potential to grow into, especially from the indications that his free throw percentage and three-point percentage show so far, you know, as he develops at Colorado. But that's one big thing that stands out as a potential weakness of Bay. You know, when you live in the post in the NBA, it's okay to be heavily reliant on your guard's passing ability to get you looks, you know, with how creative you can be off the ball. With him being a wing, the goal for Bay really would be to improve his self-sufficiency. If he cannot improve his self-sufficiency, that could limit, you know, his cap, what he could become. In terms of becoming a significant starter, he becomes someone who would remain in a reserve role and would play with someone like a Tyus Jones, a very good passer, and be a productive reserve if he doesn't really produce self-sufficiency. So self-sufficiency on offense is one thing where Bay really could improve. We talked about his rebounding ability, his ability to make steals, and his ability to block. One thing, though, that does also stand out as a potential weakness for Bay is his lack of ability as a playmaker. You know, over at Tankathon, one thing that they did point out about Bay was that his assist-to-turnover ratio was just not good. It was not good at all. There was very, overall, in terms of his college career, Bay, in terms when it comes to his turnovers and assists, he had 71 turnovers and 75 assists over his last two college years. 71 turnovers as a sophomore, sophomore year, 75 his junior year. For assists, he had 23 assists as a sophomore and 46 as a junior. So you're not going to get a lot of value added when it comes to Bay's ability to create for teammates on the offensive end. That could potentially be a problem, especially if he does not become a self-sufficient scorer. Now, he probably makes up for it a lot of times with his defense. You're creating steals, creating rebounds, and others. He can create opportunities for his teammates that way. But in terms of being in the half-court offense, Bay right now is likely a player who may not offer a lot of value on offense through his, you know, lack of self-sufficient scoring, as well as his ability to pass. A couple of things, though, that, you know, again, you know, show that Bay could improve. As we talked about, his three-point shooting ability improvement and also his ability to shoot the free throw, those things are good. That does show that Bay has some projection to improve as a shooter and as a overall scorer. And the reason why the free throw shooting is important is because if he cannot become that good of a self-sufficient scorer, but does continue to find ways off the ball to get to the line, that's a way for him to score. It's a way for him to be able to provide scoring opportunities is by getting the line and shooting. So when it comes to Bay, his defensive profile is outstanding. His ability to create plays, his ability to, you know, his ability not only to defend players at different positions, but also his playmaking ability. But in terms of his offensive contributions, right now it's very limited. And that's nothing against Bay in terms of where he is as a player. It's just that he needs a lot of coaching to become a respectable offensive player and really add value on that end of the court. What we're going to do is we're going to take our final break and we're going to look into a little bit more. So with all this being said, with all this being discussed about Tyler Bay, how does he make sense for the Grizzlies and what's an potential NBA name that he favorably compares to in terms of looking at the projection for his career? We'll be right back with you here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. A subject that many men have a hard time discussing is erectile dysfunction. It simply is something that a lot of men do not want to face. They want to just put it to the side, maybe kick it down the road. But unfortunately, it is something that has to be faced. And a lot of times, the reason why it does not want to be faced is because it can lead to some uncomfortable conversations. You know, many times men will avoid it. They'll say something like, I just had a tough day at work, or I've lost my mojo, or I'm just not in the mood. Well, fortunately, there are now easier ways to discuss it. And one of those ways is with Roman. With Roman, it's easy to talk about. With a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. You go to GetRoman.com/XXX and complete an online visit. Again, if you go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA, you actually, if approved, can get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. Again, if you go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNBA, you could get $15 off your first order of ED treatment if approved through Roman. Welcome back to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So here we are. We're discussing Tyler Bay as the first potential draft prospect that really makes sense for the Grizzlies. And just to recap what we've discussed, the main thing with Bay is that he is a defensive prospect who shows some offensive upside. His calling cards are his defense, his rebounding, and his potential to score in transition. For a wing that is 6'7", 215 pounds, according to his profile, he does have some decent experience in the post, and that has allowed for him to improve his footwork, both on the offensive and defensive end. The reason why that's important is because with his offensive game right now where it is, where he's going to add value is as a finisher in transition, on lobs, and in drop-offs, or in getting open for passing lanes for his creators. That's where he's going to create offensive value. In time, the hope is that he may be able to develop some self-sufficiency, whether it be a jump shot from the baseline, perhaps in catch-and-shoot situations as a three-point shooter. I don't ever think he's going to be, you know, a significant or elite self-sufficient scorer. That just doesn't seem to be, you know, his style, and if it was the expectation, he would be much higher higher of a priority in this draft for teams. But obviously, his offensive development is very important. But the key that's going to allow him to potentially contribute immediately as a reserve right now will be his defense, his ability to create steals, to create blocks, to get out on the run, his ability to rebound from the wing for a team like the Grizzlies and for many teams who may want to play smaller, maybe not play with the traditional look of a big. That defensive rebounding ability that Bay offers is a big benefit to prevent second look opportunities. Another thing that I did not mention about Bay is he also has a lot of potential as an offensive rebounder. So creating second opportunities on long rebounds, as well as potentially being able to do putbacks on shots at the rim, Bay offers that as well. So where does that leave Bay? What is his outlook? How does he make sense for the Grizzlies? Well, not to be lazy, but I think that a comparable player, someone that I think that Bay, that in terms of career trajectory, you could see Bay's career kind of going as, in terms of like a good to great, not necessarily best case scenario, but a good scenario, is former Colorado Buffalo Andre Roberson, who has played for the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, like Bay, Roberson came out of college as a clear defensive asset, and he has proven to be that for the Thunder. The thing about Roberson, though, is that he's never really developed the ability to be an offensive contributor. He is a poor three-point shooter, doesn't offer a lot of opportunity from the free throw line. He can score at times, but he's not a lot of value offensively. I don't know if Bay will become the level of defender that Roberson has, especially on the perimeter, but I do think that Bay has more offensive upside, the ability in catch-and-shoot situations and the ability around the rim. So in terms of Bay's career projection, I think the overall go, if you go to the stipend and looked at his different trajectories that you look at, the idea is that he could become a significant 3-and-D starter at the small forward position. And for the Grizzlies, that type of developmental talent certainly is worth investing into. I think for the Grizzlies, Tyler Bay would make a lot of sense. One of the reasons why is because of his versatility. You could play him in the small forward position off the bench with Tyus Jones, with Brandon Clark, Grayson Allen, De'Anthony Melton, if he stays around. And that right there is a tremendous second unit. You've got kind of a three-guard look with Grayson Allen, Tyus Jones, and De'Anthony Melton. And then you've got Bay and Clark, who can do stuff both inside and outside, plus also can hold their own defensively. And that's the other thing about Bay that I think fits a couple of those preferences for the Grizzlies potentially. As we saw with Taylor Jenkins, one thing that he preferred in terms of his depth in the front court starting off the season and choosing to go with Anthony Tolliver a lot of times over Gorgui Dieng in the bubble is that he wanted that shooting ability. And if Bay can offer significant improvement in that area, if he can offer the ability if he can show that he can be a developmental talent for Jenkins to work with to develop his shooting, I think that could be a really attractive piece for the Grizzlies to draft. And I think that's what it comes down to. The Grizzlies in the NBA know what they're getting from Bay in terms of his defensive ability. But despite his off-the-ball opportunity near the basket, what do you think of his ability away from the basket? I think that if the Grizzlies feel they can work with that and make him a respectable catch-and-shoot shooter, they found something. They found a 3-and-D two-way potential type player who will start off as a reserve, a potentially productive reserve, and can be a spot starter and maybe turn into a regular starter down the road. The downside of all this is that it's not the Grizzlies as the only team who sees this. As noted, while Sam Vecenie had the Grizzlies taking Bay at the number 40 position overall in his latest mock draft, it's probably likely that a lot of contenders who are wanting to add to their bench and just don't have a lot of money to invest in key reserves, they're going to notice that about Bay too. So Bay is the type of player, being 22 years old, being able to potentially step in and be a defensive difference maker right from the get-go, you could really see him making sense for a lot of teams, maybe late in the first round or who trade early into the second round. So when it comes to Tyler Bay, I think he makes sense as a Grizzlies target. I think in terms of the prospects that you could realistically sit there at 40 for the Grizzlies. Bay checks a lot of the boxes. He offers wing depth. He offers the potential to play, you know, small spurts at the stretch four position, potentially. And he also offers the ability to contribute in multiple areas in which the Grizzlies, you know, need to improve. Defensively, a perimeter body who can make a difference against wings and other players on the perimeter on defense, and also the ability as a catch-and-shoot shooter. I think that Bay offers decent 3-and-D potential, but really does have the ability to be a significant defender, and I think that's something that will make him attractive to the Grizzlies. At the end of the day, if Bay is there, I feel that he is a steal for Memphis. However, I find it very unlikely that he will be there as we get closer to the draft, especially with, I know that they recently announced that NBA teams could have face-to-face meetings with the prospects, but with it just not being the same as it usually is in most years, I think that Bay, being potentially a more, you know, complete, potentially be more of a finished product right now than many other players who, when you get it later into the first round, into the second round, I do think that the contender will make him a focus and make him a preference. And I could see Bay being drafted, you know, late first round, early in the second round. I will be surprised if he's there for Memphis, but if he is and the Grizzlies have him there, they should run to the podium and select him without hesitation. That is the first of our mini draft profiles. Really wanted to look at Tyler Bay. I am excited. I like the potential that is there. Certainly think he could add a lot of defensive value. Think that there are some things to work with as a shooter, for as him being a shooter. But overall, I think that he would be a steal at 40. I just don't put a lot of faith in the fact that he will be there. My name's Sean Coleman. I cannot thank you enough for joining us on another edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. You can look at the show at Locked On Grizz. You can follow me at StatsSEC. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are available: Spotify, Stitcher, the podcast app on your phone. Thanks so much for joining us. Hope you have a great day, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.